And this is the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, also a pastor out here in Eastern Plains of Colorado. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy in studio with us today. As we come back to a subject that's near and dear to my heart, in fact, we cover these stories on the Worldview in 5 minutes on a daily basis, and that is Christian persecutions. Jesus told us that we are to remember those who are in chains as though we were enchained with them. And so we need to do the same thing ourselves. And of course, America is moving more and more towards the persecution of Christians. But these stories of true tyranny are hardly heard anymore by Christians, especially certain persecutions in which certain people are put into prison for their faith. And we're going to give you several examples of this. Sadly, there's extremely little in terms of Christian media or any conversation at all going on stories in which Christian pastors are in jail serving time. These are some of the first persecutions in America since the 1980s, when there were a few who were sent to jail for homeschooling their kids. And then back in the 1830s, a Christian pastor named Samuel Worcester was put into 4 years of forced labor for his defense of the Cherokees and Creek Indians in Georgia. And, of course, his case went to the Supreme Court of the United States, and the Supreme Court actually ruled in his behalf. But Andrew Jackson refused to back up the ruling. So there have been instances of this kind of persecution over the last 200 years, but now, of course, it is picking up very, very quickly. And I give you several examples of the kind of persecutions that are coming to a town near you. This was in Vermont. It started when a woman named Lisa Miller repented of living in a lesbian relationship with some woman named Janet Jenkins. The Vermont courts had imposed visitation rights for the lesbian by the name of Janet Jenkins, for Lisa Miller's daughter, even though the lesbian had no biological connection to the daughter. And it wasn't even a faux marriage, so they weren't even, you know, fakey married. The lesbian was, according to some witnesses, abusing the child. And two Mennonite pastors and a Christian businessman by the name of Philip Zodiatis helped Lisa escape the country with her daughter. It happened back in 2009. That would have been 9 years ago. They made it over the Canadian border and eventually off to South America. Now, Lisa Miller had full custody of her daughter when they left the country, according to what Zodiatis told LifeSite News. And this interview happened just a few days ago. He's heading off to prison for several years.
Wow.
Because he apparently aided and abetted this mother who was trying to escape the country and save her daughter from this lesbian. They had no travel restrictions and had legal passports. No laws were broken by anybody except by Janet Jenkins, who sexually abused a very young child, according to Zodiatis. Zodiatis, again, the Vermont courts refused to admit the affidavits by social workers who testified that Isabella Miller, the daughter, was being abused by Janet Jenkins, and they buried the very considerable evidence of sexual abuse because they had a political agenda of nullifying the many marriage amendments of so many states and the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, and that occurred well before Obergefell. So
yep,
this was pre-Obergefell in 2009, and the Vermont homosexual agenda was blazing fast and hard. And sadly, two pastors and a Christian businessman by the name of Philip Zodiatis were caught up in this massive persecuting force that came from the homosexual mafia. Two pastors so far imprisoned, and now Philip Zodiatis was imprisoned last Wednesday to serve his term. I believe it was at least 2 years. I'm not sure. Pastor Kenneth Miller has served more than 2 years in prison for his role in the escape and risked more prison time by refusing to testify against the involvement of others. Apparently, they put a gun to his head and, metaphorically speaking, and tried to get him to testify against other Christians. He refused to do so. This occurs, my friends, in the United Socialist States of America, the USSA. After a judge sought to induce him to speak by placing him in jail before serving his main sentence, Miller said that his time behind bars had only made his convictions stronger. This is a quote from Pastor Miller. As non-resistant bearers of the truth, they are Mennonites. We should not sit by as the quiet in the land while society around us falls into ruin. Rather, our lives should be a prophetic protest, an expose of Satan's tyranny, and we should not hesitate to oppose his lies with the truth by word and action. And friends, it turns out that this woman and her baby, this woman and this little girl, made it to South America or Central America. The Mennonites of the Nicaraguan Brotherhood have also suffered persecution. by the at the hands of the official homosexual mafia in the United States that run American governance. These Mennonites and the Nicaraguan Brotherhood have suffered all kinds of persecution for allegedly harboring Isabella, but have refused to cooperate with Nicaraguan police in their search for the girl, stating that they would rather die than deliver her up to her persecutors. This according to LifeSite News, my friends. Let me ask you this, Bill. If the court was taking your granddaughter and forcing her into a home of a lesbian where social workers are saying she's being abused, what would you do?
Well, it's a very simple problem to answer, and that is if you were walking by a pool in a neighborhood and there was a fence around the pool with a sign that said no trespassing, and you saw a three-year-old child drowning and flailing around in that pool, would you say, oh, I must obey the court law and the law that says no trespassing? No, you would leap the fence, you would break that law, because there is a higher value, there's a higher law. And our courts and scripture recognizes that value of life trumps property rights. And so you would break the no trespassing law in order to save a life. So it is rhetorical to ask what I would do if my granddaughter, who's 3 years old, was put in that situation, and I would do whatever it would take to keep her from harm's way.
Jesus said if you offend a child, that is, if you offend a child spiritually, emotionally, sexually, it would be better for you than a millstone be hanged around your neck and you be drowned at the bottom of the sea. It seems that Jesus's warnings concerning the abuse of children, spiritual abuse, as well as the physical abuse of children, are fairly severe. And so, friends, I think at some point, Christian pastors and Christian leaders, Christian fathers and mothers need to sit up and pay attention. By the way, it is okay to flee a country. Jesus told us that if they persecute you in this country or in this city, flee to another. And so, yes, Mennonites have had to flee countries many, many times, perhaps more so than other denominations. And I commend them for their willingness to continue to stand for principle and their constant moving from one area to another to avoid persecution and still allow for something of a raising of their children, the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Well, that's just one instance of persecution, but one that I think could be classified as more far-reaching and even worse is coming up next on the Generations Radio broadcast. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way. Protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you, Bill Jack, also in studio. Yes, we deal with real situations in which people have been persecuted in America. Yes, they are serving time. And we're way beyond the bakers, the flower shops, and the candlestick makers who are find a little here, find a little there for not cooperating with the homosexual weddings. No, right now we're talking about heavy-duty persecution coming down upon real Christians in America. And yes, you heard me right. This is happening in the United States of America, and very few Christians will take note. But it's important that we do. If you have faith and you want to follow through on Jesus' encouragements in Matthew 25 and also Hebrews 13, we need to visit those in prison. We need to remember those in chains. And by the way, if you would like to write a letter to Philip Zodiates, I have his address, which I'll put in the description of the radio program. He's at the Federal Correctional Institution in Ashland, Kentucky. All right, let's move on. And this story, Bill, I think applies to every pastor in America who reads the Word of God on a Sunday morning. If you read the book of Proverbs at all, if you've ever read it in a public forum, you need to listen to this, my friends. This story actually begins in 2012 when a pastor in Wisconsin decided he would teach from the book of Proverbs on the discipline of children. And this comes from an AP story that finally came out in March 30th of 2015. He was sentenced to 2 years in prison, and it was appealed several times, eventually to the U.S. Supreme Court. And according to this Associated Press article released March 30th of 2015, the U.S. Supreme Court turned away an appeal from the Wisconsin pastor convicted of conspiracy to commit child abuse for advocating the use of the rod to spank children. Pastor Philip Caminiti advocated the use of wooden rods to spank children. Church members relied on biblical passages to justify the corporal punishment, including the verse, "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently," according to court documents. This from the AP story, meaning that he had the guts to teach from Proverbs 13:24, and the Associated Press, the U.S. Supreme Court, and the courts in Wisconsin took serious issue with his willingness to stand up and read out of Proverbs 13:24. "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently." That was the verse that got this pastor, Philip Caminiti, some 2 years in prison. You can read the appeals case in law.justia.com. By the way, I read almost all 25, 30 pages of the case itself. It's online. And I think pastors need to read this carefully. And anybody who defends pastors in the court of law needs to understand that this is Supreme Court precedent now, in that the U.S. Supreme Court refuses to stand for the right to speech, free speech, especially in churches in America. So I think we need to remember that the U.S. Supreme Court has come down the side of opposing free speech in American churches. So, friends, if you read the Bible, you will be arrested and thrown in prison, especially if you read from Proverbs 13:24. So you better follow the case. This is critical for anybody who reads the Bible. And Bill, I believe there are pastors who read the Bible occasionally in churches in America. Do you agree with that? I mean, yeah. I think I know of some. Yeah. And so it's important to brush up a little bit on when you're going to be persecuted, how you're going to be persecuted. And so I'd encourage you to read this appeals case at law.justia.com. It's Caminiti versus Wisconsin. So it came out in March of 2015.
Now, here's the problem, Kevin. We are reluctant and hesitant to come to this pastor's defense because we may disagree with his theology.
Yes, okay. And I believe that I probably will disagree with his exegesis, his application, his theology. Yeah, I would disagree with this man.
But he has not committed a crime. He's only read and said, "This is what I think this means," or "This is how this should be applied." It would be equivalent to me standing up and reading the Marxist manifesto or the Humanist manifesto and saying, I think you ought to apply this. Yeah, and I cannot be taken to court and prosecuted and incarcerated because we have something called the First Amendment. Now, it is going by the wayside quickly in this nation. Okay?
Big time.
But here's the problem. Pastors are going to be reluctant to come to this pastor's defense because they may disagree or may even be embarrassed by his exegesis.
Oh, I'm guessing that would probably be the case. Now, I don't know enough about him, though.
This is how the opposition works. They always go after the lone sheep.
Mm-hmm.
They go after the one that's the straggler, mm-hmm. the one that's out on the fringes. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you an example of this, not related to this particular case, the Alex Jones case, where he was banned from Twitter, from Facebook, from the social media sites, and nobody came to his defense, even though it was pure censorship. I don't agree with, and you probably don't either, Alex Jones and his commentary. He may be a wacko, but he has the right to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to defend the principle of free speech.
And people are increasingly allowing for the shutting down of free speech because it's no longer a value in America. And friends, again, if you are not rooted and grounded in God's laws as it applies to the civil magistrate, then you are going to open yourself up to all kinds of tyranny. And that's what's happening around this nation today until pastors rise up and say, we are going to hold our civil magistrate to the civil law codes and what God has laid out in his word as the definition of civil justice. Then we are going to open ourselves up to all kinds of tyranny. And that's precisely what's going on in this case.
It's a liberty issue. This is a liberty issue. We believe in liberty for all, not liberty for some, but liberty for all. If we don't have liberty for all, we have liberty for none.
Let me read just a bit from the case from the Supreme Court appeal, and you can find it online at lawdoesjustice.com. And again, reading from the case itself, Comeniti did not personally abuse any children, nor was he charged as a party in such abuse. He never instructed a parent to discipline a certain child at a certain time. Rather, the charges were based on his expressing his belief as a church elder that the Christian Bible mandates graduated discipline by loving parents, including measured use of a wooden spoon or spanking stick on even very young children, as deemed necessary and appropriate by the parents, when all lesser forms of discipline have failed. Each of the 8 counts against Comeniti alleged a conspiracy to abuse a particular child. The Supreme Court case actually noted that, as evidence of this pastor's teaching, the parents would carry a wooden stick in their diaper bags to the church. Now, we're not talking about 2x4 here. We're talking about a little paint stick. Now, do you know parents in America who might carry a little paint stick around in their diaper bags?
I'm not going to say, because now suddenly
you're going to get about 84% of American Christian parents in trouble.
Yes, exactly.
And friends, if your pastor tolerates this, he's into prison for 2 years minimum, okay? So just get that straight. That as long as we're not going to fight these cases, as long as we're going to ignore the tyranny that is rising in Wisconsin and in the United States, as this case was not taken up by the Supreme Court of the United States, friends, you're opening yourself up for massive tyranny. I mean, you can plan on your pastors going to jail, and you can plan on yourself, your own families, your own fathers and mothers and husbands and wives going to jail over these sorts of issues. Well, the conclusion is, you quote from Proverbs 13:24, you're going to go to prison, and that will be upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court. I just don't think it will be a problem for many American Christians, because the vast majority of American pastors don't even quote from Proverbs 13:24, so maybe that helps.
Yeah. So maybe they'll be forced to read it and then apply biblical principles in their sermons to their congregation and encouraging good parenting skills. You think that's going to happen?
I don't know. That's just, you know, Proverbs is not exactly the most popular book in the Bible today. And by the way, our Proverbs Bible study guides are available at our website, generations.org, if anybody's interested in finding out what God's wisdom is against the gods of the marketplace and the broken down systems, the wrecked socioeconomic systems that we're dealing with in our society today. If you would like to rebuild your lives upon the wisdom of God's word, I would encourage you to teach your children the book of Proverbs. It's God's wisdom, and yes, even smarter than the Supreme Court of the United States. If we don't stand on principle on this one, I think there will be many pastors in prison 15, 20 years from now, Bill. I just can't think of any other option. Now, granted, there aren't many who will read from the Word of God. There aren't many that will read from the book of Proverbs. But those that will probably go to jail.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're looking at here, because the Bible is politically incorrect. You know, you may not be reading from Proverbs 13:24, but you're reading from 1 Corinthians 6 or Leviticus 18 or whatever it is. You're reading from the politically incorrect verse that just does not comport with the zeitgeist, and you're going to go to jail. You're going to go to jail for 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 years. Friends, this is going to happen. The really chilling thing about this case is that I don't know a Christian pastor. I don't know any Christian media that has touched the story. I have done so many searches on Google.
Wow.
I've done searches on other search engines trying to identify some data on this case, but I don't know a Christian legal defense organization. I don't know a Christian pastor. I don't know a Christian media organization outside of our own that has followed up on this story over the last, what, 6 or 7 years. And wow. That's concerning. I just don't think that the Christian pastors want to touch the story. No way, no way, no way. It would be hard to find a pastor, a Christian media person, who would want to look into this. Why? Because they are deathly afraid of persecution themselves.
Yeah. Is it possible that there are other facts about this that you haven't uncovered or that seem to be, you know?
I've read the Supreme Court case. You would think that they would present their best case
to the Supreme Court.
I just don't get it outside of the fact that he taught from the book of Proverbs. And because the book of Proverbs does not comport with the standard that the state has held up for the standard of child abuse, you know, the state does not agree with the book of Proverbs. That's the issue. And so therefore, if state law violates or in any way contradicts the book of Proverbs, then a pastor that teaches the book of Proverbs will be brought into court for conspiring against the state or conspiring to commit child abuse on the definition that has been incorporated by the state itself. So
I'm just thinking that there are many Christians out there who are thinking what I just said, and that is there's got to be more than this.
Well, read the Supreme Court case.
There's got to be more. This
read
can't
the case.
Possibly be happening.
And it's,
if you
crazy.
Go out and you tell your congregants, or if I tell pastor friends of mine this is going on, they're going to look at me like I'm crazy. They're going to say, no, you've probably missed some facts about this.
Well, I bring up Kent Hovind.
Yeah.
Name one Christian media organization. Well, it might have been one or two.
One or two.
Not very many, though. Not many pastors would stand up for Kent Hovind. Not very ministries. Very many ministries would stand up for Kent Hovind because they didn't agree with some parts of his exegesis or some part of his application, some way he handled his ministry and so forth. But you know who stood up for him? It was Forbes magazine. Forbes magazine stood up for Kent Hovind.
No kidding.
Three or four stories out of Forbes magazine. Just do a Google on Forbes magazine, Kent Hovind, who served 7 years, my friends, 7 years in a federal penitentiary because he was charged with the ridiculous charge of structuring. Forbes magazine, a secular organization, stood up on that one. But of course, would the Christians stand up against tyranny? Christians, they are so opposed to God's law as the standard for right and wrong, for the standard of justice, and for the standard of our liberty, they apparently are not interested in standing up for freedom in this generation. So that's, of course, why I wrote the book Freedom, which is a book that reintroduces the concept of freedom for Christians, and I give a biblical defense from God's law and God's word, and Christian history for the concept of freedom, that somehow perhaps there might be freedom for future churches or future Christian families in the years to come. Well, get ready to go to jail. If you spank your kids, get ready to go to jail. If you have a pastor who reads from Proverbs 13:24, 1 Corinthians 6, if you read from texts like this, you believe there's some truth to be gleaned from that passage, I can't imagine why they wouldn't put you in jail based upon the way the zeitgeist is moving right now. I'm reminded of the classic line from Niemöller. Remember, from Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
This is the classic quote from Niemöller. Listen to what he said. First they came for the communists, and I did not speak out because I was not a communist. Then they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak out for me. And friends, that's precisely where we're headed today. The cases we're talking about are pretty serious. People have gone to jail, and there's almost nobody out there to defend them. That's pretty sad. That's pretty sad. Because if the persecution gets any worse, there will be nobody to defend them either.
There's not going to be anybody left to defend you or me.
Yeah. Well, my friends, let's remember the biblical principle here. Jesus wants us to remember those who are in chains as though you were bound with them. And remember what he said to the goats. He said, you didn't visit me when I was in prison. And so depart from you, cursed, you workers of iniquity, into eternal fire. That's how serious Jesus is on matters like this. You need to recognize his brothers. You need to recognize his brothers. And true Christians will recognize his brothers and most definitely visit them in prison remember them who are in chains. That's what Jesus wants his people to do. And that's how we can best love our brothers and sisters who are persecuted, whether it be in this country or in Nigeria or Sudan or China or Pakistan or anywhere else in the world. Let's remember those who are in chains. As we wrap up this edition of the program, I encourage you to my book, Freedom. Make sure you pass a legacy onto your children concerning Christian freedom as defined by God's word and Christian history. Read about the 800-year battle for Western freedoms, which are pretty much gone today, but give your children the heritage by giving them the book called Freedom. And of course, we have a study guide that goes along with it for 12th grade. It's all available at our website, generations.org or kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.